This podcast is brought to you by the Legatum Institute. I'm Sian Hansen, Executive Director, and we hope you enjoy this lecture.
I'm here with Bill Connell, who is holder of the La Motta Chair in Italian History at Seton Hall University in New York, and he's also Secretary of the Journal for the History of Ideas. He's just been with us talking about Machiavelli and Erasmus and Thomas More in the year 1515 and about their three great books, The Prince, The Praise of Folly and Utopia. Let's perhaps start, Bill, by thinking about Machiavelli, the real Machiavelli, and Machiavelli today. We all think, of course, we know who Machiavelli was, and we think that he was jolly Machiavellian.
Thank you, Al.
But how about the real Machiavelli?
That's an interesting question, and very much on people's minds. I don't know if you would agree, Al, but I find in the United States that the name Machiavelli rings a bell with people more even than the name Shakespeare or Thomas More. From the Renaissance, his is the name that people click with, and yet they have definite ideas that are somewhat removed from what he actually wrote. His most famous book is The Prince, of course, written between 1513 and 1515.
But it took a long time for that book to be actually published.
It wasn't published until after his death. So there were people, himself included, who thought there were problems with it. And we know soon after it began circulating in manuscript that it was criticized as being harsh, impious, a work that was called immoral. He didn't like that, but he also didn't publish it.
So here it is, it's in manuscript form. Yeah. He finishes it end of 1515, beginning 1516?
No, he finishes it in May of 1515 and presents it to Lorenzo de' Medici, the younger, who doesn't like it. The story is that Machiavelli came in to present his book at the same time as a man came to make a gift of two hunting dogs, a brace of hunting dogs, and the prince preferred the dogs to Machiavelli's book. Machiavelli went away grumbling and
So did Machiavelli think that the prince was Machiavellian, that he'd written a Machiavellian text, a book about how to be bad? Because that's what Machiavellianism actually means, isn't it?
Yes,
in the contemporary
quite right. He actually wrote it to get a job, and the first version of the book was written for a fairly naive young man who was thinking of becoming, and others were thinking of him becoming a prince, and Machiavelli thought he needed advice and how to be not good, is one phrase that he uses. But it's interesting then what happened afterwards, because you began by asking me about what we think of him today. And there's a long history of the reception of Machiavelli. Here's why I think he's so important. Machiavelli says, it's in his view of human nature. He says that human beings are not trustworthy. They don't keep their word. They're greedy, and they're cruel. It's a view of human nature not so different from what one finds in writers like St. Augustine or in his contemporary, Martin Luther.
So that's Orthodox kind of Christian.
Man lives in a fallen state, let's say, okay? But whereas the Christian tradition says that what's needed is to correct that, in the case of Luther, one simply prays and hopes that that God will give you by grace faith, and therefore you'll be saved. Whereas the Catholic Church said works are so important in correcting that. Machiavelli said that a political leader should just work with the worst case.
He's saying is don't think of and planning for a tomorrow that might be better in terms of human nature. Realize what you've got.
What you've got, and let's work with that. Yeah, and so it's very interesting to see how modern political thought, and this is really why modern political thought begins with Machiavelli, what especially in the Enlightenment was done. Rather than say that humankind is just bad and evil, let's separate these qualities out, as Machiavelli begins to do. That is, a person can be untrustworthy, you can't trust the word, but doesn't mean they'll be cruel. Or the cruelty could be separate from the greediness, you see. So separate them out, deal with these qualities one by one, and maybe we can work with them. So, people are untrustworthy, they lie. Let's work with that quality, give it the name, let's invent something called freedom of speech. It allows people to lie, but the lies will balance themselves out, correct one another. That sounds pretty good. People are greedy. Well, let's give people the right of property and the pursuit of happiness. A noble name. And then cruelty, well, we can ban cruelty, cruel and unusual punishment is what the United States Constitution does, famously. You know. So. And suddenly it starts to seem, well, not so bad.
And he says something, it's natural for the human beings to want to own stuff.
And to acquire.
To acquire.
To acquire more.
Now, it seems just obvious to us now, isn't it? Now, why shouldn't people want to acquire stuff and go out on shopping expeditions, buy property, go off on a holiday and buy more handbags? But why did Machiavelli's proposition about all of this seem so new?
Because the Christian tradition, of course, emphasized humility. It was a new thing in the Renaissance to praise magnificence, because poverty was a fundamental part of Christianity. I found in my research in the archives, I've been going through notarial records, ecclesiastical records, and I found wonderful things about the relationship of Machiavelli and his family with the church, and there was a particularly strong bond to the Franciscan order in the Machiavelli, and so it's
the Franciscan order
with poverty, and so Machiavelli, it's as though he writes with Francis opposite him or over his shoulder, whispering in one ear, so that Machiavelli can refute him.
Machiavelli is saying, it's natural, as it were, for a girl to buy the best handbag a girl can possibly get, and for a Renaissance prince to buy the best kind of dagger, most jewels on it. So display, good.
That's fine.
No luxury goods, no Renaissance.
That could certainly be said. Yes. Machiavelli says this is natural and just fine.
So not only is it natural, it's good.
And he says it right in the teeth of Saint Francis. So Francis was offered estates in the mountains, a holding of the counts of some counts in central Italy, and he said, "No, I don't want to accept this gift because it would mean we would need laws and arms to protect it." Machiavelli says that every state needs laws and arms, and where there are good arms, there are good laws. But where there are good laws, there aren't necessarily good arms. So you need the arms. But the phrasing is a direct response to Francis. But now here's an important thing regarding possession and acquisition. Machiavelli says that the end of a state is to acquire territory. It's to expand. It's the beginning, I think, in modern thought of the idea of grow or die. And there's a difference between the classical or Christian end of the state being the virtue or the salvation of the citizens.
Summum bonum, greatest happiness is just keep it as it is.
He's saying the end of the state is not virtue. And it's not salvation. The end of the state is survival, and survival requires growth.
So once again,
when modern economists say that it's the growth that matters, they're taking in a thought of growth. And And think of it this way too, it's an infinite process. That is, where does the growth end? The end is growth.
So yeah, more growth and yes, more and more growth.
There we are.
And if you're a ruler with anything about you, if you're ambitious, if you're a normal human being, you've got some stuff, in ruler's case, territory, land,
yeah. Then
you want more.
You want more.
Why shouldn't you?
And if you don't grow, others will conquer you.
Others will conquer you. So the idea of, right here, I'm just going to own this property up to that meadow over that hill, that's enough for me.
Yeah.
That's not really an option, because if you just settle with what you've got, you're going to end up with less than what you've got.
Yeah, that's what he thinks. Yeah, and there are CEOs of important corporations around the world who accept the same thing.
Economic growth for the business, you can't just lie abed and be happy with what you've got.
Yeah.
Go for growth.
Right.
Thank you very much, Bill.
To hear more podcasts from the Legatum Institute, please visit our iTunes channel or website at www.li.com.